I'd too say good evening to you all. Brothers asked us to read from the Epistle to the Hebrews this evening, from the 12th chapter. And we will be reading verses 18 to the end of the chapter. It's Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye not refuse him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, and of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May all who are able kneel for prayer.
Well, thank you for your prayers for me for this evening. Sure appreciated the message this morning. I will glory in the cross, lest his suffering be in vain. Not glory in myself, but glory in the cross. I really appreciated that message. And this evening we want to think of being part of an unshakable kingdom. We live in a world that does a lot of shaking. Now, I've seen some different numbers concerning this, but we'll go with the National Earthquake Information Center that says there are about 55 earthquakes a day around the world. That's a little over 20,000 in a year. And obviously many are too weak to cause any damage. And in the U.S., most earthquakes occur in Alaska and California. But California has the most damaging of earthquakes. However, the largest recorded earthquake in the U.S. was in Alaska, Prince William Sound in 1964, with a magnitude, and magnitude speaks of the size and strength of the earthquake, of 9.2. And then the largest recorded earthquake in the world was in Chile in 1960 with a magnitude of 9.5. If you want to get away from earthquakes, the best place in the U.S. are Florida and North Dakota. However, every state has had an earthquake. It wasn't too long ago that we felt one here in our area. You remember that? It wasn't, I'm not sure how many, a couple years maybe, but I think it happened during school and we could feel it. But so the earth does a lot of shaking, causing the world in which we live to shake. But still in the future, there's coming a shaking like this earth has never previously experienced. Hebrews 12:28 speaks of an unmovable or unshakable kingdom, but the previous verses speak of when the earth will be destroyed. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more, coming in the future, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. But in the midst of all this, there's a kingdom which cannot be moved, because verse 28 says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, or in other words, is unshakable. An unshakable kingdom. God will create a new heaven and a new earth that can't be shaken or moved. And not only is the kingdom of God an unmovable place that God will create, but the kingdom of God is here and now. It's here, it's within every believer. It is a kingdom that cannot be moved, and an unshakable kingdom. And that which is holy and righteous and set apart to God will remain unmovable, unshakable. We as believers have received that kingdom. A kingdom that's unshakable, not just in the future, but for the here and now. And the kingdom of God is everlasting. And that's hard for us to get our human minds around, because everything we know has an end. We buy clothes that wears out, or we grow too big for, or we wear shoes that get old and need to get holes in them, or things only last so long, our lives get old and we die. So this idea of everlasting is sometimes a little hard for us to get our minds around it. But the idea of an unshakable kingdom here in verse 28, when I read that, one day I read that verse and that just jumped out at me. An unshakable kingdom. And it really stuck out. It has great meaning for our future. The earth and the heavens will be destroyed, all that's physical, but God's kingdom, the eternal, will remain with a new heaven and a new earth. But what does this mean for our lives right now? This unshakable kingdom. As believers, we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved, that has great implications. There's a future truth concerning the unshakable kingdom. But there's a present reality. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. There's a present reality for us as believers of this unshakable kingdom. We are part of it. Perhaps someone would wonder, and I don't know if there's anyone here tonight, but if anybody would be seeing this, how to be a part of this unshakable kingdom? How do I be a part of it? Well, you have to come to the right mount. And by mount, I mean mountain. If you look at these verses in that were read, verses 18 to 21 talk about Mount Sinai. The place where the law was given, a place where one cannot attain to what is required. And Brother Glenn mentioned that this morning. But those who receive an unshakable kingdom are come to Mount Zion, where Jesus is the mediator. It says in verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse him not to speaketh. In other words, you have to come to the right mountain where Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And through him paying the price for our sin makes us a recipient. When we choose him as our Savior and Lord, makes us a recipient of this incredible, unshakable kingdom. That's the only way to be part of the unshakable kingdom. Through Christ coming to the right mount. Come, by the way, Mount Zion by the way of Jesus. So as part of this unshakable kingdom, what does it mean for our practical day-by-day living? First of all, and very importantly, nothing in this chaotic world, we all would agree that we live in a chaotic world. Nothing in this chaotic world can change this kingdom that we are part of through Christ. Nothing. No matter what chaos is going around or around us, it cannot change the unshakable or unmovable kingdom of God. Secondly, within this unshakable kingdom, grace is readily available. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace because it's available. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, whatever grace we need as a believer, it comes from the one who makes this kingdom unshakable. So we're part of an unshakable kingdom with all the grace that we need being available to function in that kingdom. That's very important. That's important for me for the rest of this day and for tomorrow, whatever he has for me for tomorrow, and so on. I need that grace to be readily available. So along with these two thoughts, nothing in this world can change this kingdom. And whatever grace we need is readily available, then we want to move on and think of five truths for believers in the unshakable kingdom. And this, I'm sure you could add some. But here are five this evening. Five truths for believers in the unshakable kingdom. Number one, those that trust in the Lord are unshakable. Psalm 125 verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as what? Which mount? Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. Isaac Watts wrote this, and I quote, unshaken is the sacred hill, and fixed as mountains, be firm as a rock, the soul shall rest that leans, O Lord, on thee. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Unshaken. Because God is unshakable, our Lord Jesus Christ is obviously unshakable. And because his presence is with us, guess what? We then are unshakable. Now that's not me conjuring up, oh, if I can just conjure up enough strength and courage. That's because of what Jesus Christ has done. He makes me part of that kingdom, and he says, you are in that kingdom, and as part of that kingdom, you are unshakable. Those that trust in the Lord have a firm foundation, an anchor that can't be moved. Our soul is anchored to Christ, who is unshakable. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Those that trust in the Lord are unshakable. Number two, the hope of the believer is unshakable. I just read it. Again, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor to soul, both sure, which means secure, and steadfast or stable, and which entereth into that within the veil. What is the believer's hope based on? Who wins the election? How the weather is? Have nice weather, we can enjoy what we want to do. Who wins the ball game? What's the believer's hope based on? It's not on anything that we do or have done. Our hope is based completely on the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he causes so much trouble when people don't want to hear his name. Because there's something about him that people want to shy away from. Not the believer. The believer says, that's where all my hope is. It's in Jesus Christ. It's based on him. It's a sure, secure, steadfast, stable hope, unshakable, and that anchors our soul because he entered within the veil and satisfied God's justice. Hallelujah, he did that. If our hope is based on anything less or on us, you know what? It gets shaky because I'm never sure when I've done quite enough. Are you? If you base that hope on what we do, I'm never sure when it's enough. But when the hope of the believer is based on Christ alone, that hope is unshakable. The definition of hope is expecting something or looking forward to something. C.S. Lewis defined hope this way. He said, I quote, a continual looking forward to the eternal world. It's a pretty good definition of hope. The hope of the believer that helps to keep us going. You know, they say you can live so long without water. I don't know. It depends on what you read. So many days, and then you can maybe live 30 days without food or whatever, or beyond. But the thought is, you can only live so long without hope, not very long. We need hope. The hope of the believer that helps to keep us going is unshakable. When Jesus is the complete source, the substance, and the reason for that hope, then it's unshakable. Number three, the peace of the believer is unshakable. John 14:27, Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Something a lot better than that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because we are part of an unshakable kingdom, there is a peace given to us that is unlike any other. None other. An unshakable kingdom means that you and I can have peace in the midst of a shakable kingdom. Did you get that? An unshakable kingdom means that you and I can have peace in the midst of a shakable kingdom. The world can be shaking all around us, yet we can have peace. That's not the world's thinking. That's the peace of the unshakable kingdom. The peace that one can have in the midst of storms is unexplainable. Other than it is a result of the Prince of Peace and being part of his unshakable kingdom. You know, as someone has wrote this in a song, I'd rather stand in the storm with Jesus than stand in the sunshine alone. That is true. That's my testimony. Wouldn't you? I'd rather stand in the storm with Jesus than stand in the sunshine alone. Praise the Lord, we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Fourthly, the joy of the believer is unshakable. You know, sometimes the idea of joy can maybe get complicated. Was it happiness or is it joy? How do you have the one? You can have the one, you can't. I want to try to have it simple tonight if I can with the scripture. Salvation brings us joy. There's a certain joy the believer experiences just by being saved. Psalm 51:12, David, because of sin, had lost that joy. That verse says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So there is joy that we have in being saved. Amen? Didn't sound very good. Joy is supposed to be and is part of our Christian walk. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that verse emphasizes the unshakable hope we referred to earlier, but it also tells of a joy that we can experience in our Christian living day by day. Proverbs 10, 28 tells us that joy comes from righteous living. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, or you could put meaning of joy there, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 32, 11 is even more clear. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. Did you ever shout for joy? You could do it in the shower. You could do it out when nobody's around if you don't want anybody to hear you. Would it matter if they heard you? If you're shouting for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Joy comes from righteous living. Billy Sunday once said this, I quote, if you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. True. The presence of God in our lives brings joy. Psalm 16, 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Believers, we have the presence of Christ within us. Fullness of joy. Praising the Lord and being thankful. Brother Larry mentioned this morning. Declaring his works or his actions brings joy. Psalm 107, 21 to 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifices, the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing or joy. There is a clear connection between thankfulness, declaring the works of the Lord, praising his name, and joy. As believers, we have been given joy that is unshakable because we have received a kingdom that is unshakable. Is this joy evident in our lives? And if not, why? Vance Havner once said this, when one recalls that we are to rejoice in the Lord always and then look in on the average Sunday congregation, he realizes that something has happened to us since Pentecost. He went on to say, or said this also, that the church suffers today from a saddening lack of old-fashioned, simple-hearted, overflowing Christian joy. We have plenty of knowledge. We're good at knowledge. Plenty of enthusiasm. That I would debate with him. We could use more of that sometimes. And denominational zeal. We'll call ours brethren zeal. But Christians and churches that started out in revival fires are living in the smoke. When it comes to joy, that's what he's talking about. The scripture clearly says that there's to be joy in our lives as believers. And it's an unshakable kingdom that cannot be shaken. Does it show? Does this unshakable joy show in our lives? Number five, because we've been given an unshakable kingdom, God's promises are unshakable. Because we've been given this unshakable kingdom, God's promises are unshakable. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast to professing of our faith without wavering. Why? Why should we do that? Because the rest of the verse says, for he is faithful that promised. That means He's never messed one up. He's never missed a promise. He's never forgotten one. He's never not acted on one. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The one who makes the promises of his word is unshakable. He is faithful. The unchanging, unshakable one makes his promises unshakable. Isn't that something? That's for our day-by-day living. These promises in God's word are unshakable to the believer. Songwriter said this, when I feel I'm failing, when I think I should quit, I'm always reminded who he always is. But other days, there's other ways that I think about God. And I start to list the things he's never not. He's never not faithful. He's never not kind. He's never not perfect. He's never not on time. He's never been defeated, and he'll never be stopped. He's never not good, because he's never not God. So I just won't worry, because there ain't no doubt, that I'll be okay, because he's not going to let me down. And I know he sees, I know he keeps every promise he makes, and I know for sure that he's never going to change. He's never not faithful, he's never not kind. He's never not perfect, he's never not on time. He's never been defeated, and he'll never be stopped. He's never not good, because he's never not God. Regardless of what's going on in this chaotic world, we have an unshakable kingdom that we are part of. And part being in that unshakable kingdom means that his promises, God's promises, are unshakable. They cannot be moved. He's never not God. You know, if his promises are not unshakable, we have nothing. I might as well close the book. We might as well shut down the church, go home, and never come back. If his promises are not unshakable, we have nothing. Good news is, his promises are unshakable. Thank God his promises never waver. As part of the unshakable kingdom, the believer, you and I have unshakable promises in God's word that are life-altering, they're life-strengthening, they're life-encouraging, and they're life-stabilizing. Aren't they? Amen? Whew. That wasn't much better than the first time. Has his promises made an effect on your life? Have they altered it? Have they stabilized it? Have they encouraged you? Have they strengthened you? I wouldn't be here this evening if it wouldn't be for the promises. Five truths for the believer in the unshakable kingdom. They that trust in the Lord are unshakable. The hope of the believer is unshakable. The peace of the believer is unshakable. The joy of the believer is unshakable. And God's promises for the believer are unshakable. Lastly, let's consider the believer's response to this unshakable kingdom. And I'll do it very quickly. Verse 28 again in Hebrews 12. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. And grace there can also mean gratitude. Thanksgiving. So, and I certainly believe it applies here. So because we've received an unshakable kingdom, we are to be filled with gratitude or thankfulness. And it wouldn't hurt to say our amens a little louder. It wouldn't hurt. Right? And I'm in the same boat sometimes. But we need to be filled with thankfulness and gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for this unshakable kingdom that you made me a part of. That I can go through whatever you have for my life, whatever is around me, I'm in an unshakable kingdom, and that has tremendous implications for my life. Thank you, Lord. Secondly, we are to offer acceptable service and worship to God with reverence and godly fear and awe of who He is. Do you ever just think sometimes, or maybe something happens or you're outside and you just in awe of who God is because of what you see? Well, that's how we're to respond to being in this unshakable kingdom. A habitual type of reverence and godly fear as we serve Him and worship Him. We are to be grateful, blessed with all the necessary grace, and serve and worship God as recipients of this incredible, unshakable kingdom. But the God who is a consuming fire, as verse 29 says, remains. So make sure you come to the right mountain. Make sure you're part of this unshakable kingdom.
You know, as Brother Dwayne was speaking there, it just made reminded me. Again, I have had taught the youth in our church for well over 30 years, and I would always encourage them. And there's many different times. Anybody remembers the sheets that I would give you and photocopy of the promises that I had written down for you to remember? And I always encourage people to know what they are. Always had a highlighter to highlight those. It says in 2 Peter 1 and 4, therefore are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, but by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I encourage everybody to start to underline, to know, to highlight that you can look at your Bible and you can find the promises. As Dwayne kept saying, they're unmovable, they're individual, they are for me, and they are powerful. We have power in the promises that we have. And I have already given my Bible to someone that was going through a very tough time in their life. And I said, I want you to look at the highlighted verses. I missed my Bible for 2 weeks, and I really did miss it because you pick up something else and it's not the same. So I think that we need to practice of highlighting it, knowing where they were, knowing where they are, so as you read them, you can get the blessing of God through these promises in your heart. The only time that I look at the scripture and think about, as he was talking about, unshakable, and there was one place that I wish I would have been at one time, which was actually shaken. And it says, and they had prayed, and the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay, thank yous for coming. We're going to kneel in a word of prayer, and then we'll close with a song.